That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel,
that old wheel,
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this Saturday morning, August 8th, 2015. And a little overcast this morning, beautiful sunrise here. I think it was a balmy 48 degrees this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning. We've got Josh from back east down south with us. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And Josh, you were saying before the program it was getting a little warmer out there than here today, huh?
Yes, sir, and you quickly rubbed in the fact that the high was going to be about 80 there, which was the low today here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We can do that now, but, you know, come January, like you said, when you're out washing your truck in your short sleeves and shorts and we're shoveling snow, it'll like that song says, that old wheel rolls around again. It all balances out, I guess.
That's right.
But thank you for joining us this morning, and we'll open up the phone lines in a little bit, so any of you out there of the remnant that want to give us a call in, you can do that, and we'll give the number here in a little bit. And we've got our Bibles, we've got our coffee, and you know where we go from there, who knows. So, well, Josh, if you would, you want to open us up in prayer this morning?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for brethren to assemble with, Lord. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us, Lord, the knowledge, and thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for our salvation and for all those blessings that come through that blood of Christ. Lord, we just pray that your words will be our words here this morning, Lord, that you guide our thoughts, and that as we have our discussions here, Lord, they will be pleasing to you and of benefit to the remnant. Pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, Jason?
Yeah, it's...
this morning.
Well, we did have a very interesting program last night, and I was really happy that we had Catherine on, and I cannot pronounce her last name. It's one of those Russian last names. Popovich, I guess, is probably the closest I'm going to get to pronouncing it. But done a tremendous amount of research on the vaccination smart meters, and we talked about that last night. And I think that that's something that is really one thing that I've been following lately. It's that how much they're putting that smart grid, how they just continually push it. And, you know, it's one of the things that became very evident to me is you know, everybody wants to be smart. And they give this smart grid, these smart appliances, these smartphones, these smart meters, this smart name. And automatically everybody thinks that it's something good. And just how they've done used psychology on people. You know, what is the contrary, what is the opposite of smart?
Dumb.
You know, so, and nobody wants to be dumb. Nobody wants to be dumb. People want to be smart. You know, they've got everything from smart water to smart meters. And those are the things that people are attracted to. They think that having those kind of devices makes them smarter. And that's one of the things that everybody wants to do, is they want to be smarter. And, you know, just talking about, you know, and it's one thing to say, oh yeah, well, it's smart to, you know, to save water, conserve water, this say conserves electricity. I'm all about those things. Those things are, you know, those things are being smart, but that's not what their smart agenda is about. And it's become so evident how all these things are tying together. I mean, and I'm sure that more evidence and more things are going to tie in together as we go on with this and research it more. But, you know, talk about total control and total invasion of privacy. It's just, you know, it's this new world order agenda happening right before our eyes. And, you know, who would have ever thought that they would have used electronics to accomplish it? You know, it's one thing when you get a bill passed that say, oh, it's okay, it's unconstitutional for them to take your phone and to see if you were texting while you were driving, to check that at a traffic stop. Okay, well, they did away with that, and everybody says, well, wait, great, we got to win. Well, no, they went around that, and they started doing it, and they figured out that they can do that without even taking your phone, without even plugging it into their scanner in the police vehicle.
Yeah, what so many people don't realize is those everything on your phone, everything, all your social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, all those things I hear about, and I don't do many of them, it's all public knowledge. It's like printing it in the newspaper, really, for everybody to see. And so many, especially our youth, so many don't—they don't realize that. I guess they think that that's a private conversation. But you see, many times you'll see in arrest reports or news reports where they arrest somebody for whatever, and they'll talk about what they had posted on Facebook and what the pictures were. Oh, they had pictures on their phone of such and such.
I read a study the other day, and it said that 98% of divorce cases had the word Facebook written in them. That was in their court documents. That's how often they're referring to. 98%. 98% of all the divorces, and maybe that was just in Colorado, but I'm pretty sure if it's in one state, it's pretty close to that countrywide. And it said that Facebook was mentioned. And this Facebook post was mentioned, and that Facebook post was mentioned, and you know, it's complete and total. I don't know what you would call it. I guess you'd call it.
Well, it's a change in society, a complete change. Society is just changing. You know, the texting is one thing, and then the Facebook. You know, that's not just between me and you. That's between me and the world when you do a Facebook. I've had people contact us and say, oh, what do you think about XYZ? You know, whatever it may be. And I'll ask them, you know, I have no idea, never heard of it. What is it? Oh, so-and-so's done all this on Facebook and said such and such and this. And yeah, I don't do Facebook. I know Pastor hated it. He hated it. I think he saw it for what it was, that it was just a change in society.
It's a way of telling on themselves of, you know, it makes everybody feel special. Oh, you know, look what I posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it has a way of, you look at what it has done as far as how many arrests are made from it. It's basically a spy gadget for the enemy in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, and everything doesn't have to be used that way. I'm not saying that everybody that posts on Facebook or has one or anything like that is wrong. I mean, it depends on how you use it. But people got to realize that you put something on there, it's on there for it's recorded. It's
and
there.
And for everybody,
you know,
to see.
And that's one of their main things that they're using it with, you know, stalking people. And you look at how many arrests have been made off of what people have put on Facebook. I mean, that's another thing. And that completely different subject that's, you know, not even worth going into right now. But it's I guess the point that I want to get across is that they're using so many different means of monitoring. You know, it's things that we thought was so far out there. You know, we watched some of the old movies that talked about it and had these things in it, and we thought it was something, you know, maybe not all of us, but some of us, you know, could see it coming for a long time, but a lot of people just are stuck their head in the sand and, you know, completely refuse to believe that it's actually here and it's actually happening before our eyes, and that's what they're doing. And you know, they're so oblivious to think that why would anybody want to why would they want to know where I'm at? Who cares? You know, talk about a free country, and they want to monitor absolutely everything.
They do. Josh, are you a big Facebook fan? You on Facebook all the time?
I'm not on there all the time, but I do get on there sometimes. And I think it's certainly important for people to understand, as what you all are saying, that when you put something on there, that's a billboard for everybody in the world to see, and it will never go away. But it's, you just got to be wise, you know.
Yeah, and, exactly.
There are a lot of stupid people that posted things on Facebook that got arrested for it that I'm glad got arrested. And, you know, however it come out, whenever you know, post a picture of your gun and $3,000 that you just robbed a liquor store. And you laugh, but it happened.
Really?
Reports and stuff. And, but I mean, I am in no way for an invasion of our privacy or any of that. But there is a certain amount. I have a smartphone that I use every day. That's what I carry. And, but I also pray every morning too.
Amen.
That, the Lord will deliver me. And you just everybody's gotta find, or seek Him and find out what they're supposed to do and where their lines are at and walk the path that they're supposed to. Because, you know, you've got to have good sense of what you do. You've got to have discernment, which
yes,
I pray for
I
that.
Agree.
A lot of times I find myself lacking. But if, you know, in the society that we're in today, if you had no contact with anyone or anything, you would be neutralized and of no good to anybody. You might live in your little hole inside of a mountain and grow a garden and exist there, but, you know, how would you ever meet a wife to have children? And
right. And that's not what we're told to do. We're not told to be hermits, and we're told to cultivate faithfulness, to even in captivity, to plant gardens, like you said, to have homes, to raise families, and then
you know, there are certainly I am no way getting behind Facebook and advertising for them. But the way I use mine is that people that I normally wouldn't come in contact on a daily basis, I'm able to share my walk with them and my faith, and hopefully be a good example to them through being able to have contact with me. You know?
Sure. And Josh, we don't want to put it out to you. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. We're sitting here grinning. Jason and I both are when we said that. Because it's prevalent everywhere.
It is.
I mean, it's, you know, the Sunday morning at church, people are talking about in Sunday school sometimes about what was on Facebook this week. And it is. It has become part of our society. It truly has. It just, like Jason mentioned, and you did too, I think we just have to realize that it's public. You know, it's public. It's for everybody to see. Boy, the emails, you see news reports all the time that, oh, it's CIA backed, it's from the NSA and this and that, and the big thing is, as long as people realize that, I think.
Well, and another thing a lot of people don't think about, but be mindful when you take pictures with your smartphone, and then even more so whenever you put those pictures on Facebook of what may be in those pictures.
Yeah.
You don't want to advertise. Yeah.
Right. Whether it's family or goods or whatever it may be, because there are GPS links on those pictures.
Yeah.
Date, time, place, that many people don't realize. So.
Well, and it's, you know, they used to say, you know, tell you that if you didn't want anything heard, don't say it. You know, that. And they used to talk about the audio monitoring that can take place from phones in a room, from the bugs, that you know, if you don't want somebody to hear something, don't say it, just write it down. But now it's got people, it's just almost comical sometimes, because you see people posting pictures, sending pictures, taking pictures of everything, and sending it to all their friends, and then they're upset and can't figure out how somebody else found out about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you sent it to 400 people on Facebook and plastered it all over the place. Well, folks...
And I can give you a perfect example of that. Working on this hay barn that I was working on, I got a tractor running over some pallet forks on it, and the eave height of my barn's about 19 feet, so my ladder wouldn't reach it. And, I got to looking, trying to think how I could get up there, so I put a pallet on my pallet porch and lifted up the loader with the pallet porch straight up. Now I climbed the pallet like a ladder and stood on top of the pallet and was welding out the purlins. And my wife took a picture of me, and I posted it on Facebook, you know, and had a lot of comments. But that picture has went all over the country. You know, I don't know who got it or how it went, but it is people from all over the United States have shared and made little memes about it and all that. And that's just a recent example where, you know, all my privacy settings are supposed to be the most private or whatever, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, you know, I talk about, you know, invasion of privacy. Did you see what they're trying to do out in Oregon with the smart cars and the fuel efficient cars? It's kind of interesting because out there, the state of Oregon is the first state to basically start it out, and there's I think believe that right now there's 23 other states that are planning to follow suit. They're waiting to see how it goes for them out in Oregon. But basically, they're saying, "Oh, we're not getting enough money in taxes because your cars are too fuel efficient. You drive a smart car, well, we're going to tax you by the mile." And so they went to other means for the taxation, because a lot of these either hybrids or, you know, and I'm not a fan of these Priuses or these electric cars. I just, well, to tell you the truth, I really can't stand them. But I do like some of those. I like the diesel Jettas and some different stuff like that that, you know, can get between 55 and 60 miles a gallon and, you know, run on diesel. And they have taken those vehicles and are going to require them to have GPSs put in them so that they can track how many miles that a day, a week, a month that they drive, and they can tax them based on their mileage. And, you know, just, talk about one thing that I haven't seen is I haven't seen anybody argue it on invasion of privacy, you know, do you want, you know, your government, I don't care how much you trust your government, do you want them knowing where you're at, when you're at, how fast you're going, every time you get in your vehicle and driving down the road?
So what's the penalty going to be? I guess the Chrysler ones, if you don't pay your taxes, they'll just take control of it and run you off in the ditch, huh?
I guess so.
Well, you know, they have that available now where they can turn your vehicle off. They do. Well, guys, the phone's ringing, so let me get the button pushed. We'll take a caller this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment about what you're talking about.
Sure. Where are you calling from?
I heard this on the radio one time that someone was interviewing the president or whoever of Google, and I think it was Google. I'm going by memory here. And they asked him what. Where does your company want to go from here? And they said, we want to become the mind of God. And, of course, that's not the real God. It's the God of this world. But in my mind, anyways, they want to know everything that we do, every breath that we take, to mimic God. And
wow, that's a good point.
One of the other things I heard is that General Petraeus once said that we're going to watch you through your appliances. So... just wanted to make those comments.
Sure, sure. And, you know, I think it ties right in with, Jason, what you started out with in talking about, and I know in your program on Friday nights you've talked about it before, these smart meters that measure the electricity that you use, and the appliances are getting that way as well. Oh, it's really neat because on your cell phone you can turn your oven on the way home from work so it's preheated when you get home. And everybody thinks that's the neatest thing in the world, but is it? Is it?
Maybe someone else can turn your oven on, too.
Yeah, or turn it off. You know?
Right.
Yeah, or turn it on at 2 a.m. if they want to. Where are you calling from, caller?
Ohio.
Ohio. Well, good. Jason, you had something there.
No, I was just saying, you know, I like technology. I like playing around with things. I really, you know, in the technology advances that we've made on, I got to deal with a lot with it, from, you know, radio station to all different kinds of things. And, you know, I really enjoy it. I really like it. But then it's one of those things that, you know, when you see it, you being used the wrong way, it's hard not to hate it sometimes.
Amen.
You know, it's like...
Well, even though right now you may be controlling that technology, you do not have control over it.
Right. Yes.
Exactly. Their God does.
Yes.
And their God is not our God.
Exactly.
Well, caller, thanks for the comment.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, folks, we'll open the phone lines up with that call, 307-745-5913. You know, Jason, you mentioned that technology. We're starting to cut a little hay out here. It's that time of the year, usually about the first week of August, if it's not flooding and raining. And so Jason's up getting the equipment running, and so we're starting with that. But you know, we get a magazine once a month, a farmer magazine, and they talk in there. You see these big John Deere's that they have on big farms, usually they're in the Midwest, and they have so much technology. They have GPSs. The GPS drives the tractor. The computer determines how much and what seed it's planting where, and it stores all that. So then they can go back and see, you know, based on this rate, how this, say, corn did or how this seed did. You know, it's checking the soil moisture as it's doing it. And I saw one ad in there. It was a big full-page, full-color ad, and it was had a big TV, literally a monitor about the size of these computer monitors here, in the cab. And the advertisement was, plant 100 acres and catch the big game all in one afternoon. And so, yeah, the guy is sitting there. The GPS and computer's driving the tractor so that the rows are just perfect and
exactly where they need to be.
And he's watching the ball game.
Yeah. They figured with that new GPS coordinates on those tractors in a 40-acre field, if they're planting corn, it will maneuver and get everything so straight and so perfect that on 40 acres you can get an additional 2 acres of corn out of a 40-acre field. And because everything is so straight. And I'd seen them where they will program that thing to go up and down to make the rows to plant the corn, and then go over there and drop their planting attachment when it's done.
And it basically runs itself.
Oh, it does run itself.
I mean, the guy's sitting there, but he's just sitting there in case something happens, really, watching the game on the monitor. And then they talk about these, again, stupid cars, right? No, these smart cars, they call them, that they've driven cross-country with no driver, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing it on the farms for years, unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you look at it. It's just that it's that technology.
Well, and that's what, you know, going to the big farm show, I tell you what, I like it. I sure like looking at that new equipment, and it's great if it can be used the right way. But then I look at that, and it's like, if I had to fix that, you know, and I've asked him, I said, on some of those new Isuzus and some of those new John Deeres and stuff, I said, how can I get a computer to plug into that? Oh, you can't do that. Well, that's proprietary software only. You have to bring it to us when it has a problem or send one of our technicians out. It's like, you know what? I don't really think I'd like to have something like that.
Yeah.
And there's things that you wouldn't even think of. I've got a Hobart welding machine here at the house that, I got a varistor burn on the board of it, and I was trying to find a schematic of the board print so that I could trace everything down and check it, and went all the way back to Miller, and that's what they told me. Oh, well, this is proprietary information, but you can order a new board for $500 and some odd and just change that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything is being more and more designed where you can't work on it.
Yeah, it is. Everything is disposable. That's what they build everything as disposable anymore. And, you know, the art of fixing things, the art of working on things is diminishing fast.
It's gone. It's all but gone. It really is. I've talked to my brother-in-law, Gary, and he's the next generation older than us. He's, I think, 70, 71. And he talked about growing up in the 60s, and his dad had a fix-it shop, and it was a big shop, you know, and up front, and they had clocks, toasters, TVs, you know, people would bring stuff in, and either, you know, you'd buy it cheap because it was broke and fix it, refrigerators, and that's what you had, a used appliance store, basically. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's told me about remembering growing up, walking around in the big, it was almost like a warehouse. It was so big. But, you know, you'd have TVs over here, and parts would come in, and you could take it apart and put the tubes in it. And like you're talking about, you know, a resistor goes out in a welder or a toaster, for that matter, whatever it may be. Well, you could open it up and fix it, and then it'd still work. But, you know, in those days, the things were made in Milwaukee, and they were made in Detroit, and they were made in Cincinnati, and places of manufacture here in the United States. And now you look at them, like you look on the back of this stupid phone I got, and what's it say? Assembled in China. Designed by Apple in California, assembled in China. And that's how it all is. You know, our children are just about the only thing made in America these days. And that is just... I was talking with a lady the other day, and she said, you know, I just don't understand why all this has happened, from the, whether it's the Muslims harassing, you know, families of military, or our the interest rates, or our economy. I just don't understand it. And this was supposedly a Christian lady. And I said, well, you know, it's our God keeping his word is truly what it is. You know, we'll work and work, and another people gain the benefit of it, whether it's the illegal aliens coming into California raping and killing and beating old women to death with hammers as they're on parole, and on the welfare system getting money from our government, or if it's our taxes that go and go and go and continue to go up, like you mentioned in Oregon. You know, the road taxes, they talk about every now and then about making Interstate 80 a toll road to do the same thing, you know, like they have on Interstate 70 across Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait a minute. These roads were built with tax dollars, and there's already, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there already a fuel tax that is supposed to be, that was set up, supposed to be used to maintain the federal highways? And we pay the fuel tax for that? But no, now we have to have toll roads and turnpikes and... But God keeps his word. You can go back. You've heard John mention it several times here this year, how we certainly are in the curses phase of Deuteronomy 28. And you can go back and read that, and it is it's just like computer programming. Computer programming is all if, then. You know, if this, then you go this way. If this, it's this way. It's all if, then. And that's what Deuteronomy 28 is. If we obey our God, the true God, the God of creation that put the clouds in the sky and just caused the sun to break out through them just now, if we obey him, we're blessed. And if we don't, we're cursed.
And there's no getting around the fact that his law is absolute. It is immovable.
Yes.
It's just like, but you were just saying, if you do this, this will happen.
Yes.
And that has been lost so much
it is
in our society today because it's been taught that the law's been done away with, and if it's done away with, well, then there's no consequence of the law because there is no law.
Amen.
It's all about mercy and grace, and which it is certainly about his mercy on us because we do break the law. But the law is still there, and it is still true, and it is still applicable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, you were talking about the nobody fixes anything anymore, and I have a sort of an interesting story. You know, several years ago when it switched over from VCRs to DVDs, I bought one of these Magnavox DVD recorders so I could transfer everything I have from VCR onto DVDs, you know. And I came to rely on it. It was, you know, if I could, you know, record stuff, and it was a very good machine. Finally, it died, so I went back to Walmart and see if they had one, and they didn't. But they had one that looked almost like it with the name of the Chinese manufacturer on it. You know, so I bought that and got it home. Well, come to find out, you guys that are technical, you know that there's a DVD-R and DVD-R, and this idiotic stuff. So anyway, it was a minus R where they had all plus R discs, so I took it back, got my money back. So I went on eBay and looking for replacements, and I found several, and I decided to buy two or three because I was going to have this, and I was going to have one for eternity, you know, never have to mess with it again. So I got them, and I found that on several of them, the little digital display didn't light up. And I'd seen as I was looking through eBay that they had a bunch of them on there, factory refurbished. You know, as many as you could get, you know, you had all kinds of factory refurbished. So I took it apart, and then that little digital display, there were about a dozen little tiny electronic strips that made electrical connection, and one of them was broken. So I soldered it, and I took the other one off, and the same thing. One of those little strips was broken, the same one. And what happened was they had the machine that made those DVD recorders, they had produced about God knows how many, the whole production run, and they broke all those little things, and every one of them had to be sent back to the factory, and somebody went in there with a soldering iron and refurbished it and was
wow.
Online. So there's an example of, whereas I had a soldering iron, and I thought, well, I'm going to open this thing up and see what's going on with it. And I was able to fix it, but you can imagine there's one little, just yep. I'm telling you, just a little, but you know, the it's a flat thing, maybe the as wide as a toothpick, and it just broke one of those, one out of a dozen or something, little connections. And so, you know, and consequently, they scrapped their one model of machine and came out with another model machine.
So well, just, and, know, and seeing was what doing something like that, that is what that takes, is that takes troubleshooting. And, you know, I think that that's one thing that our people are prone to, is that's troubleshooting. Because we like to look at cause and effect. And we look at, okay, if this isn't working, why isn't this working?
Right.
And, you know, we start working our way backwards. We can, sometimes we have to work our way backwards. Sometimes we have to work our way forwards. And but that's what we like to do. I mean, and I believe that that's what makes our listening audience unique, is their troubleshooting abilities. Because they've come to the truth, because they've realized, okay, something's wrong here. Now let's start looking for the problem, and where has the problem started? And they get on a goat trail, a rabbit trail, and they go from one place to another. And is what they're doing is they're troubleshooting the, you know, I guess you could call it troubleshooting the problems of life, or of this world. But it's I think that that's one of the things that I've really admired and respected about our people, and I've seen it in so many different people. We've got people that are electrician troubleshooters, that are mechanic troubleshooters. You know, they come from different walks of life and different things, but you know, our people are unique in that aspect. And I think that that's one of the things that has brought us together, is because of that troubleshooter mentality.
This is the best tool in my toolbox. Whenever all the rest of them won't work, prayer.
Yeah.
Yep.
You and I have talked
Absolutely.
About that, Jason.
We have.
Sometimes you just want to beat your head up against the wall, and then if you back up and stop and pray about it, most of the time you'll get it.
Absolutely.
Well, Mr. Fix-It caller, thanks for the call. Thanks for sharing that story.
Okay, thanks.
All right, have a great
day. Have a good
day. Well, 307-745-5913. Got a text here. Says, take a look at this scripture. I'll go take a look at it. See what you think. See if it... Luke 12:2. Yeah, 12:2 and 3. Let's see. 12:2, but there's nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. Good verse for this morning. Got that from a brother out in St. Paul that is... going to be doing a baptism for us tomorrow. Or maybe today before he said before church. So we were able to get that set up. So that's a good thing.
And praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's great.
So. Well, some more current events. Jason, did you hear about the mumps outbreak at the University of Illinois?
No, I did not.
There's another one. Another mumps outbreak. And got this from an email. Says the Illinois Department of Public Health is urging University of Illinois students to get vaccinated to help curb a growing mumps outbreak. There have been 69 cases reported on the Urbana-Champaign campus. New infections continue to be seen. A week earlier, there were only about 50. They know of 18 other cases around the state, and this is mumps. Director Nirav Shah, boy, there's a problem right there, says most of the infected people have received two rounds of the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, but believes a third round could help control the outbreak. Now, is that not doublespeak or what?
Wow.
And then the health center at the campus recommends students planning to take classes this fall get a vaccine booster. Is it just me, or... You know, am I the crazy one, or is this article that says, okay, the infected people have already gotten two rounds of the vaccine, and they say they recommend a third one? where do you think they got the mumps from? The vaccine. So take it another one.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, I've seen several people
line
that,
up?
That just, yeah, line up, you know, you see the signs and people are doing it, and I don't know, just, I've been one of those people, I've never, needles just creep me out. Maybe I've been blessed that way, because I tell you what, there is...
Now, Jason, I've seen you give shots.
Well, I've given them before, but I sure don't, I don't even like that.
Yeah, I remember that. You didn't like that either. You did not, but I didn't either a couple times. But anyway, you know, the vaccination thing is another way. It's another tie-in. It's another way to steal, kill, and destroy that our enemy has just put in and made part of most people's society. Not everybody's, but most people's. And you know, you think about these students, these college students. So they're going to line up. They've already gotten two shots. They're going to line up and get a third, and they'll have thousands that do that. And then as those thousands get a little older, if they do, whether they marry or not, and whether they have children or not, whether they can, but if they do, they'll line their children up for it. They'll line their children up to do the very same thing.
Well, and by doing that, they are serving their God, the one they choose, which is the establishment, the world, Satan's kingdom, however you want to put it.
Yes.
And they are reaping the fruit of that.
Yep. And you know, Remnant, you may ask, how are they serving them? Well, it's where they're putting their trust. It's where they're putting their faith. It's where they're putting their fear. Oh, you talk to people about vaccinating. Oh, well, we have to. My children can't go to school if I don't vaccinate them. My doctor told me that my child might get such and such, and they could lose. They might become sterile. They might this. They might that if they don't get vaccinated. See, that's where the people fear. They fear the doctor. They fear the establishment that they serve. And this Bible that we have should be open in front of you. This Bible that we have and the God that we serve, he says, fear me. Fear the Lord. Trust in him. Because he's the one, you know, he's the one that has our heart and our brain set up just right. So there's just enough electricity, not too much, but just enough electricity to keep everything pumping, to keep everything going. And there's nothing we can do about that.
Well, and it's very important that you clarify that, and I'm going to agree. There are things that we do just because, as the pastor said before, you can't fight everything.
Oh, absolutely. So
there are certain things that we do that, you know, you pick your battles. And what you just said about when you serve that other guy, that's when you put your faith in him. That's when you put your fear in him. And lift them up as something that they're not. And we've got to be careful that we do it without even realizing it through our speech.
Yeah, good point. Yep, we do.
Yep. Absolutely. I fully agree with that. Well, let's try a caller here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, you were talking about things like mumps and vaccinations and things like that. I was thinking about a few years back, seems like, anyway, Richard, I think you had chickenpox going around for the bench, the younger members of the family, the bench of your basketball team.
Let me tell you, it went through the whole family, and my whole family in two batches.
Mine.
It went through Jason's. It went through John's. It had gone through a couple other families. It came into one of our camps. And it did. It made the rounds. Yes.
Did you get it?
You know, I had it as a child.
Exactly.
My wife had had it as a child as well.
Exactly. And I had it. My sister had it. I had chicken pox. I had mumps on both sides. I had both kinds of measles. And you know, my sister got them too. And my parents didn't have any problem with any of this stuff because they had had it as a child. And I remember when you're telling that story, I thought, oh, what a blessing, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
it really is.
That's God's vaccination program.
Now, you don't, let me tell you, you don't think about it in those terms as a blessing when you've got, you know, one kid in the in the oatmeal bath and the other kid is getting slobbered with, pink whatever. And,
so you're
right.
Walking around with all the, you're sitting there with all the blinds drawn. And,
absolutely, yeah. But you're right. It's part of life. You know, it's part of life. It's not that once you become a Christian, you don't have these things. No, it's that you have the strength to get through them, and that you can get through them.
Well, and I'm a firm believer that if, as you go through these things, your body builds immunities to them, and that we haven't been exposed to the germs and stuff. I mean, that's why I think it's good for healthy, and I let my kids go out and play in the dirt every chance that they can. They get those microorganisms on their hands and on their feet and in their mouth. And, you know, this is what they're doing is they're building immunities. And, you know, I think that these things that we go through, that as time progresses, I think that that makes for a healthier person. So much of the time, you know, they give them a vaccination. They want to prevent this. They want to prevent that. I believe that those are down the road. Those are the things that prevent you from getting diabetes, that prevent you from getting cancer, that prevent you from getting a lot of these other serious diseases down the road. Is because your body is continually building an active immune system. You're exercising that immune system. You're not trying to treat symptoms or prevent something that's naturally occurring.
Right. That's like all this antimicrobial whatever soap. Everything is that way. Almost shampoo, you see. But every type of soap you get anymore is that way. And it's like, you know, just good old-fashioned soap and warm water was good enough.
Well, yeah, and the thing is like that antimicrobial. However you say it. Now you said that, and I can't even pronounce it right. I could have said it 5 minutes ago, but whatever. However you say it, it's antibacterial is what it basically is, and that's one of the worst things for septic systems that a person can get. You know, and I just recently, well, not recently, but a couple years ago, I was working on friends of mine leach field with a backhoe. And guy came out and he said that the problem was, and he'd been in the business for a long time, is that this antibacterial soap, everybody started using it. They were using it in their laundry detergent. They were using it for hand soap. They started using it for shower soap. And it killed all the bugs that were living in the septic system. And, you know, is basically, you got to have those bugs in there, that bacteria, to eat everything up and dissolve it. And that's been one of the worst things for that, because it's killed that natural process.
Mm-hmm. And we have that in our bodies as well. You know, you have to do that. That's one of the most important things. If you get sick or whatever and you have to go to the doctor, if you do, and get antibiotics to knock out a bug or whatever, and sometimes you have to do that. But once you get through that, boy, you really have to get back on the probiotics. You have to restart your system. And so many people don't do that, and they pay the penalty for it. Well, Bill, thanks for the call. We'll try to get this other caller on before we run out of time.
One little thing, this discussion that we've just had here, you could substitute spiritual and godly things for all of this, and there'd be a perfect parallel.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, life's a test.
It is. Hey, thanks for the call, brother.
Goodbye.
All right. And we'll try this other caller. Hey, caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, man. This is Tom Montana.
Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Tom.
Yep, good morning. Hey, you know, the enemy just hates the Creator, and it hates all that He created. The GMOs, they just can't stand to have anything. Right, they want us vaccinated. The vaccines try to change the human body. They want to change it from its natural form. You know, I stumbled on a car show when I went to town one day, and so I thought I'd walk through it, and you know, you'd see all them fancy custom modified cars, you know, and oh, they're nice and all, but then you see one that is put together the way it came from with every nut and bolt from the factory, and that's the coolest one of the bunch.
It is, I agree.
But they just absolutely hate to have anything that is the way the Creator made it. And because they hate the Creator and they hate what He created, and they want to put themselves above that with all these things that they are doing in this world. And I just don't care for it myself. I pray against them every day.
Amen. Well, and I believe that it's that, you know, and I wrote an article on it probably 2 years ago, but it's that Tower of Babel times. You know, we've got people wanting to be like gods, as gods. You know, and you look at where does human life rank nowadays? I mean, I think that that's the telling point of where we're at, when human life is at the bottom of the totem pole, and you know, bricks are above human life. That's where we're at as society, whether people want to realize it or not. You know, you see the outcry when on, you know, some of these most ridiculous things, you get charged more for poaching a deer than you can for, you know, getting an abortion. You know, it's that puts it into perspective, you know, where we're at as a society.
The goofy lion that everybody's worried about getting shot by that poor fella in Minnesota, and for crying out loud, and then not even a word about them. Oh, those degenerate, what I can't even describe how irritating that makes you feel, why, listening about these people that are digging them babies out of these poor women that are in there for the abortions. Oh my God, what a terrible thing. And nobody even mentions any of that.
No.
It Jason, you hit the nail right on the head. It is the days of the Tower of Babel that we are in. We are in the days of Babylon once again. And you see it, it's almost like that. It ties right in with what you said earlier about the, you know, what's the problem, and why is there a problem? That troubleshooting, you know, we have trouble in the land, and why is it? And people look to that, and that leads them to the truth of the word, that God is still God.
Have a blessed day, brother.
Thanks, Tom.
You too, Tom. God bless. And I think we've got time for another caller here. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
Morning, brothers. This is Joe, Pennsylvania.
Morning, Joe.
How's it going, everyone?
Good. How are you?
All right. Yeah, we're having a bit of a dry spell here. Things are drying up pretty good, but I think we've had sufficient rain in the early part of the season that water table's still up pretty high.
Well, we'll keep that in prayer.
Yeah. Tom mentioned the Creator. It made me think of a conversation I had with a lady here. Let's see, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, this evolution business. By the way, evolution has changed to the point where Darwin wouldn't even recognize it. It's got nothing to do with what he was talking about. The basis for their religion is constantly evolving. But one of the things that we were talking about was having, on a molecular level, so many of God's creatures share our basis for life. And a lot of times you would hear that as being evidence of evolution, when in fact it is a clear sign, in my mind anyway, of a singular Creator.
Absolutely.
Having the basis of life in His hands, and He's manipulating it.
Absolutely.
And He's trying this and trying that and trying this and trying that, but He's using the same materials.
Absolutely. It doesn't point to evolution. It points to a common Creator.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. So anyway, well, maybe you can get another caller in here. I'll back on out.
Thanks,
Joe. Have a good day and a better one tomorrow.
All right, have a great weekend.
Okay.
Well, we are kind of wrapping up the program here this Saturday morning, August 8th. You might hear it at different times because we do record these programs and replay them a little bit throughout the week. And then they're also archived at the websites, scripturesforamerica.org, and also at the network website, sfawbn.com. Do want to encourage you to be reading your Bible. We've been trying to do that just about every broadcast to encourage you, to remind you. We do have a Bible reading plan. The August Bible reading plan is available at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Click on that, and right up there on the homepage, on the left-hand side, you can click on the Bible reading plan, and it'll give you a PDF of August. And hopefully you've got that already and printed it out, maybe checking off or highlighting as you get through the Bible reading. And if you're doing that, then today you'll read in Isaiah about Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you do that. I hope that you take the time and read about our Lord and Savior, about some of the many prophecies that were prophesied and the promises that were given there. Well, time waits for no man, and the time has just run back out again. Again, we thank you for tuning in. Josh, we appreciate you coming down off the barn and wiping the sweat off your brow and joining us on the conversation this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure appreciate it. And we thank you, the Remnant. And we do want to invite you, the Remnant, to come to church with us tomorrow. You can have fellowship. You can maybe learn a little something about what's going on in the news. We'll have good music. We'll have a communion service and a Holy Spirit-inspired message. And you do that by joining us at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 Central, and noon on the East Coast. And you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, Sunday morning, and we'll be there, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Well, thanks again for joining us. If you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay high. Country stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, stake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll